Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right. Hello, everyone. It's your good friend, Patrick O'Dowd, welcoming you into another edition of Hockey Talk. Hockey Talk is, of course, brought to you as a part of the ChairShot.com. As a part of the ChairShot Radio Network here on the ChairShot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And I am, of course, joined by my good friend and fellow hockey aficionado, the lawyer himself, David Ungar. Dave, how are you, man? How was your week? How was the week that was?
It was pretty good, man. I've been watching some tremendous hockey. It's a pretty damn good basketball,
yeah,
too, you know, to be honest with you.
Well, it looks like the Celtics and the Pacers are going to be done with one,
yes,
more game. Like,
well, that's because Indiana doesn't know how to close.
They clearly did not know how to close. And I don't watch pro. Full disclosure, anybody who knows me knows I can't stand the professional game. I don't know why it annoys me, but it annoys me.
Maybe it's because our teams are no good. That might be something to do with it.
Well, I mean, but I haven't been an NBA follower. I haven't been an NBA fan since I was junior high in high school. Like, because it was part of that Michael Jordan sweeps the nation fever that hit, like, I remember in seventh and eighth grade, like watching the Bulls and those dynasties, those two three-peats with that weird hot play minor league baseball for my dad phase in between, that that was kind of it after Michael left the Bulls the second time. Like, I have always loved the college game more. For whatever reason, like, I don't know if it's just that I'm a sucker for the NCAA tournament, which, you know, that's to me, like, that's my favorite weekend in all the basketball is the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. Like,
right,
just the fun and the drama that surrounds that stuff. Like, that's awesome. But it is odd that, like, I don't get that excited for Chicago.
I think the problem I've had with the NBA for a while now is, it's always been so top heavy, right? There's always seemingly a dynasty,
yeah,
in play. So it kind of gets like, it's the same you know what, the Warriors and the Cavaliers played in the finals like 4 years in a row or something. And it was just like, you knew none of the other teams really had a shot. This year has been like the first year I can remember where you look at it and say, okay, the Celtics are, they're on a little bit of a different level, but the Pacers getting there, you know, Dallas, Minnesota was a very unlikely Western Conference Finals. And, you know, speaking of teams that don't know how to close, Minnesota, I'm looking at you. So I'm kind of a little bit more interested in the NBA playoffs than I have been in the past. Cause like, okay, we got different teams involved. You know, it's certainly not like hockey where you've got somebody's going to win the cup for the first time in this millennium, century, decade, whatever moniker you want to attach to it. But, yeah, I've enjoyed the NBA playoffs a little bit more than usual, just because there's actually a little bit of parity now. And I think that's great for the NBA because it creates the illusion that, hey, maybe my team does have a chance. Whereas we know in hockey, you know, once you get to the playoffs, anything can happen except the Caps winning a game from the Rangers. But other than that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, you know, it's really, and I can only have this conversation because you'll get it. I've probably spent more of my time this week being mad at people on Facebook who, and it's a specific subset, has nothing to do with sports, has nothing to do with hockey. It's people who jump on Disney tips and tricks pages to not give a Disney tips or trick, but to just complain about their experience at Disney World. It's this fascinating thing. Like the page is like, give people, you know, tips about how to do things on Disney or things that you found that worked. And then somebody will be like, I ate at Space 220 and it was the worst experience ever. Don't ever go there. 0 stars. This was too stupid. And my steak was done perfectly. There's no tip. Other than you didn't like the restaurant, you didn't go.
Speaking of Disney, my niece may have solved a very big mystery that we had. We went to,
oh yeah,
I think, you know, we went to Oga's Cantina in Galaxy's Edge where, you know,
I've never been.
We went there and it's, I don't know how they do it in Florida, but in Disneyland, Anaheim, they like, it's like, you've got your people, unless you can fill the whole table out, they're going to put you with another
put strangers group. With you. Yeah.
And like when we went there, the other strangers, they kept to themselves. We kept to ourselves. And like we kept, my niece and I were sitting there and my son was there and he had like a drink. And then he's like, I'm out of here. I'm going, not a drink, but just cause he's not 21 yet. And he said, I'm out of here. I'm going to go ride some more rides, which is what he does. And that's fine.
Right.
But we were sitting there, we were having a couple cocktails and like, we kept hearing something like there's a conversation going on and we could not identify where it was. And I got up and I looked and then like, okay, behind me is a solid wall. There is no table on the other side. Where is this coming from? And when my wife and niece and other family members went there, what, 2 weeks ago or last weekend, I guess, whenever it was. And they went back to Oga's and Rebecca, my niece, she says, I figured it out. She goes, it's part of the show. I was like, what show? And she goes, there's a show going on at the bar. We just didn't see it because of where we were. And that's what we're hearing. I was like, really? Because it sounded like we were picking up some like weird conversation from somewhere else in the cantina that was being like interjected into our conversation. So it was kind of, I was like, all right, if you say so,
you mean it was like the robot, you know, like the robot DJ that's
no,
there?
It was part like, of it? No, it was like,
was it that
like,
guy?
It was people talking. And it was a conversation that did not sound like part of the show. They're not talking about stuff you would expect. Like they're not talking about Jedi's or the Empire Rebellion. It's like, it was hard to explain, but they seem to have solved the problem, but I'm like, all right, I guess,
I got to go back
and experience it myself.
I'm more interested in, as we turn this into a quick Disney travel and uniqueness of
which we
Disney
tend things, to do.
I'm more interested in checking out Trader Sam's Grog Grotto at the Polynesian Resort. It has, I don't know if you know about this. I think they have a Trader Sam's in Disneyland
garbage.
Too, but it's garbage.
It's in downtown Disney. It's where Rainforest Cafe used to be. And it's only, the lower level. And honestly, Star Trader at Disneyland is probably the best Star Wars shop that I've seen out of any of the parks so far. It's tremendous.
Oh, no. But Trader Sam's Grog Grotto is like a themed bar is like an enchanted tiki bar.
Okay,
like all the drinks. Like if you order drinks at Trader Sam's, you get like every drink has some sort of effect that happens within the bar. It's really hard to get into.
We have nothing like
Oh, you have to get your, like, it's so popular. You have to, like, get your name on a waiting list at 11 o'clock for when the place opens at 3 to maybe get in and do it. Like, you got to, like, be ready for the callback. And someday I would love to check out Trader Sam's Grog Grotto. Unfortunately, I'm usually followed by a 12-year-old. And
that makes it difficult.
Bards. Yeah, he's not quite in. He could go into Oga's because he could go into Trader Sam's too because they do have non-alcoholic beverages. Right. Sit at the bar. It's very highly exclusive. But okay, that's 10 minutes. We have breezed through 10 minutes of talk, Dave.
And we haven't even mentioned hockey yet.
The Western and Eastern Conference Finals are both underway. Here we are today. It is Sunday, May 26th. As we record this. This afternoon, game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals will be happening over in Florida between the Panthers and the Rangers, all even after 1. Florida getting the win in game 1, the Rangers surviving to get a victory in game 2. Rangers aren't scoring, Dave.
They aren't. And one thing I need to mention, I spent quite a bit of time watching the conference finals this week, and I'll say this, man.
More time than I did. I did a lot of socializing.
Yeah, I
consumed a lot of beverages.
I watched a lot of game 1. I watched probably the back half of game 2, including overtime. I watched game 1 of Dallas. I was texting you about Dallas and Edmonton and just terrible turnovers and how things were going. And then Dallas, both series are really, really good. I mean, really
right.
good.
And this is what you want, right?
You do.
And, this is what you want out of a conference
but
finals.
Beyond that, New York and Florida, that is as even a matchup. Game 2 was phenomenal. If you didn't,
they were beating the shit out of each other.
It was just there was very little ground given. Florida proved that they can be just as physical as New York is, and I mean that's why New York put Rempe back into the lineup to get some of that physicality, and he got knocked on his ass in a few places. The margin for error between Shesterkin and Bobrovsky, because you will not get many chances against either of them. Good looks. Any of that stuff. There's very little ice to be had. There's very little opportunities to be had. Florida's really taken the Rangers out of their game. But on the other side of the coin, the Rangers have taken Florida out of their game. And the way that Florida likes to play a little bit more up, both teams kind of like to play up tempo. And this is kind of like turning into trench warfare a little bit.
It's very much a grinded out series right now. It's very, very physical. They got very, very chippy in game 2.
They did.
It was a lot of fun.
They were very
overtime goal.
Very nervous people in Madison Square Garden for game 2. I'll put it. It was quiet for a lot, and Gaudreau made a really good play and a good shot, and maybe Bobrovsky should have had that, but it was a tough shot to stop. It was right in the slot, and it's gonna happen.
But in a 7-game series in the NHL, the key is to. The series isn't a series, as they say, until one team wins on the road. Same thing in baseball. And Florida took care of that game 1. And so now here we come into game 3. And, whenever you hear pundits talk about these playoff series, they always talk about, like, pivotal game 4, pivotal game 5. I really believe this game that is about to – puck is going to drop. So this game will be 2 days old by the time we'll be looking at game 4. Right. On the day that this episode drops. Game 3 is really important for the Rangers. I feel like the Rangers have to win this. Because I feel like if they do not win game 3, they're in real, real danger. And not just from obvious reasons, like down 2-1 and Florida has a series lead. But you got to show something in this one. Because I feel like if Florida wins at 3 o'clock this afternoon after we record this, like if Florida does that, I don't think they just take care of that game. They take care of the series. That's how strongly I feel about game 3.
I would tend to agree with you. I mean, a Ranger victory in game 3 really inverts the series on itself, because then it's going to shift.
Right.
Because then the pressure goes straight to Florida, because you lose game 4 as well. You're going to MSG down 3-1. You're probably not going to, you may not come back to Miami or Sunrise or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, I think if Florida gets that win here in game 3, they can play game 4 very loose. They know that at worst case scenario, they're going to come back for game 6. And if they can beat New York, and we know they can, they could come back with a chance to clinch. So I agree with you. I think New York's got the pressure's really on them to do something in this game to get Florida off their game. I'm not sure what they need to do. Maybe LaViolette needs to switch the lines up a little bit, although I don't know if that's the problem. I just think it's like we were saying, they've just ground this whole thing down to the point where there's just not a lot of room to maneuver. And it's just somebody's going to make a mistake or somebody's going to make a big play like Goudreau did in game two. Somebody might miss. You know, Shesterkin will give up a softie every once in a while. Bobrovsky will as well. It just, you know, who's right. going to get to the slot? Who's going to make that one extra play, that one extra hit, that sort of thing. But I agree with you. I think game three is crucial for New York. Get home ice back, switch the pressure back on the Panthers to really perform in game four. And I still kind of like the Rangers to win just because I think Shesterkin is a little bit better than Bobrovsky right now. And psychologically, what did game two do? Because that's the first time Florida's lost an overtime game in 11 games and the Rangers snapped that right. streak, which doesn't seem like a real big deal, but kind of is. And game two is one of the best conference finals games I've seen in a really long time. Just so evenly matched and just from one shift to the next, what are these guys doing? How are they trying to approach this thing? So yeah, it was it's a fun series. It's everything we hoped it would be. Would not surprise me in the least if this goes seven. But we'll see. We'll see what happens today.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if either of these series go seven.
They both should.
We can. Yeah, they absolutely should. And we'll just get right into the Western Conference Final as well. Edmonton comes out game one for two periods. Looked great. And then Dallas ties it up. They win it in overtime for game one. Game two, Edmonton bounces back. Edmonton. Did I say Dallas won game one?
Right.
Edmonton wins game one. Edmonton looks really strong. Dallas comes back, bounces back. Ottinger bounces back, looks a lot better. Holds both Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl scoreless in any way, shape, or form. So no points at all for either of them for the first time in the entire playoffs.
McDavid scored. McDavid got their only goal.
Maybe it was just Draisaitl.
Draisaitl had a 13. He had a 13-game point streak that ended.
Ottinger snapped Leon Draisaitl's point streak at 13 as the Stars held Oilers forward and his captain Connor McDavid off the score sheet for the first time this postseason. So did McDavid score? Because the NHL.com website's saying no. Let's go to Game Center.
You got the goal. I thought it was McDavid, but I may have been thinking. I know he
was. It was Jamie Benn.
Okay.
Ben. Or no, it was Connor Brown.
Connor Brown. Okay. It was one of the Connors.
Connor Brown within his, yes. It was not Connor McDavid, though. It was Connor Brown. Mason Marchman with the go-ahead goal.
And then an empty netter.
Asa Lindell with the empty netter at the end.
What I will say about this is we know how great Jake Ottinger is. And his save on McDavid in overtime is right up there with Holtby's save in game two against Vegas as like, wow. Cause Connor McDavid will bury that shot 98 times out of 100. And Ottinger made just a tremendous save to keep them in. And then of course, McDavid scored like on a beautiful, just a great little, like, it's like, you can't leave Connor McDavid in the slot like that. And they did. And he buried it. And that's not on Jake. No one's going to stop that. But, Skinner, the Oilers goalie, is, in my opinion, I think, okay, underrated, because he has really played very well, especially game one, where things, especially at overtime, Dallas had some really good looks, and Skinner kept them in that game. And I think, you know, ultimately, does Dallas have a significant edge in goal over Skinner? I say yes, because Jake's about as good as they get. But Edmonton can play with these guys. They've proven that for two games. They're playing pretty fearlessly. They're playing pretty loose. Dallas, I still think, is overall the better team, but you get that, all that stuff at the top, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, you got Nugent Hopkins, you got Connor Brown. You got a lot of and Edmonton has played some really solid defense. So they've learned, this is a team that's really kind of come along. They've been in the playoffs a lot of times. They've learned a few things here and there. They seem very playoff ready. So yeah, I think Dallas is, you know, that's kind of similar. They're kind of in a similar situation that the Rangers are, where you don't want to lose game three in Edmonton and be facing the prospect of going back down to Dallas down 3-1. So I don't think it's as critical for Dallas to win as it is for the Rangers, but it sure would help.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think I think this is shaping up to be a game where, or a series where they just trade wins. I think I don't think that Edmonton is going to be held to one goal very often. It's just not in their DNA. They have too much talent on the offensive end. Two of the best players in hockey, two of the best scorers in hockey on their team. Like you've got to match them a little bit. And so Ottinger has to be the best player on the ice, period. Whether it's goal, forward, defenseman, wing, any of that, like he has to be the best player on the ice. Cause if you give Edmonton enough cracks and bites at the apple, they're going to beat you. And that's not to say that Dallas does not have weapons of their own. They just don't have those weapons on their team. So,
right. But don't you think Dallas is probably a little bit more balanced than Edmonton?
Oh, I think that, yeah, absolutely. I think that you hit it. You like a goal in particular, like a goal, Dallas has the advantage. Defensively, I would say Dallas is stronger. Like, I think that that's without question. I think that, I think I made this comparison last week. If you were to do one of those little like star graphs on a video game that like sort of has points that show Dallas versus Edmonton, Dallas would have like this nice even like hexagon looking thing or whatever the categories are. And then Edmonton, while they're fine, it would definitely be shaded stronger offensively than it would be defensively and those sorts of points.
Right.
So I think that it's can Edmonton do enough defensively to hold on to win some?
Yeah, and you're right. I think Ottinger's got to be the best player on the ice, because how he goes is how the series goes. If he neutralizes those guys, I don't know if Edmonton's got the defense or the goaltending. Despite what I just said about Skinner playing above where I thought he would be, I don't know.
Right.
Over the next five games, can he hold that up? If I'm Dallas, I like my chances that some cracks in the foundation will show. But I will say, from a crowd standpoint, Edmonton's got the best crowd of any of the teams still left in the tournament. I mean,
they want it so badly. Really, they want it so badly.
And the entire country of Canada is now in Edmonton's
You are carrying
corner.
Canada.
All of them are. We are all Oilers fans right now, and they've got a goodish. I'm what Montreal got to the finals in that weird. What was it? Not 2020. The shortened year where it was part in the bubble and
COVID.
Not part in the bubble, but less in crowds. And then they got
the beginning. It was 2020. It was the beginning of the end of the Blues franchise.
Right.
No.
Because
Blues fell apart.
It was what? It was no Tampa and Montreal, where they did that weird thing in 2021. Remember where they seeded everything all fucking strange and
Oh yeah.
But that,
yes, the Blues were already in decline. You're right.
We both of our franchises are steadily slipping downhill. But I
word.
I love the conference finals are tremendous, and the fact that you know that one of these teams is going to be hoisting the cup for the first time, best case scenario since 1999, and that's the Stars. It's going to make for a tremendous Stanley Cup final, and fan bases. Those fan bases in Edmonton's the best. They're the craziest,
right?
But all of them.
I'm telling you, I still want the Rangers and the Oilers. That's what I want. Give me that. That's what the NHL wants.
I think so, but I think the odds of a Rangers Dallas series are a little bit better, maybe. But
I don't even care. I'm not speaking to what will happen.
Right.
I'm speaking about what I want to happen.
New York in the final is what's best for
New York against the nation of Canada.
Yes.
Let's go. Let's book it. So whoever is booking the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, right. Do that. Fix it. Call Vegas. Get it done. All right. We're going to take a commercial break. We come back. I really don't have much news to talk about, but we did have a coaching change announcement in the NHL worth talking about. And then maybe we'll wrap it up. Wait, waste a little bit of time talking about other stuff. Who knows? You never know what you're going to get on Hockey Talk.
No.
But you are listening to Hockey Talk. Come back and hear it here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Hockey Talk. Patrick O'Dowd, David Ungar here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and invest in a Chairshot shirt. If you love what we do, they're only $19.99. Spend a few dollars more. Get it soft style. Your giblets will thank you. Dave, I was looking at the news around the NHL and seeing some things that are going on really outside of the playoffs. Not much is happening, nor should we expect it to. After the playoffs are over, of course, the NHL draft is at the end of June. So that's coming up, and we'll talk a little bit about that when that gets closer and closer. But we did have a coaching change that was announced on Friday. But in kind of a departure of what we're used to in the land of coaching changes in the NHL, this was not due to somebody getting fired. Winnipeg has a new coach. Scott Arniel is going to be taking over for Winnipeg. But this is due to a retirement, and it was Rick Bowness, who retired on May 6th, missed 11 games from October to November after his wife had a seizure, and then another four games because of a medical procedure for himself. It seems like his age and health and his family's age and health are just too much for him to continue coaching a National Hockey League team, and so he stepped down from what we would argue was the surprising Winnipeg Jets, a playoff team. They did get bounced in the first round to Colorado. As it was like, congratulations, here's your reward for making the playoffs. You get to play one of the more dangerous teams in all of hockey in the Colorado Avalanche. They lost in five and moved on. Arniel has previously coached, he was an assistant coach, associate head coach with the Jets for two seasons, but he has coached with Columbus Blue Jackets. He missed the Stanley Cup playoffs in his two seasons with them. You should be a little familiar with him. He was an assistant / associate coach with the Sabres, the Rangers, and Washington Capitals from 2018 to 2022. So I don't know what that says for his resume, given the powerhouse programs that he was coming from. He's clearly a qualified guy. I don't know much about him as a head coach. He has not been a head coach long enough with any particular team to really have a legacy other than it seems like he misses the playoffs. So it's a bold decision, Cotton. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to work out.
See how that pays off for him.
We'll see how that works out. Yeah.
I mean, like you said, the Jets were a little bit of a surprise and then a massive disappointment because one of the best goaltenders in the league, who's going to win the Vezina Trophy, could not figure out how to stop the Colorado Avalanche. And, whereas Jake Oettinger did. So there you go. I'm not that familiar with him either, but, you know, if Bonus had to retire due to multiple issues, this guy seems certainly qualified to take over a franchise that's in pretty good shape. You know, they're missing a couple pieces. Goaltending shouldn't be one of them. I don't know what the hell happened to Hallerbuck in the playoffs, but, other than Colorado got to him. But yeah, it seems like a good fit for a franchise that, you know, the Canadian teams are kind of on the rise, I would say. You look at all those teams out there, with the exception of Ottawa. maybe Calgary a little bit, but you know, you look at Edmonton, yeah. You look at Winnipeg, Vancouver's on the rise. The Canadiens have been god awful for a while, even though they were just in the finals a few years ago. They should be getting some improvement. Toronto's Toronto, that sort of thing. But yeah, I like the fit. I don't know enough about him to have a strong opinion one way or the other. But like you said, he seems qualified. He's come from some very good to great organizations with some mixed success. So we'll see. We'll see what he does.
Yeah, and that's all you can ask him anyway. You get the opportunity, you know, basically a promotion from within by the Winnipeg Jets. Get him up there and we'll see what happens. Other than that, there's really not much else going on. There's the international hockey tournament. I can't remember. It's like the IIHF international tournament is taking place. Canada is playing in the bronze medal game against Sweden, I want to say. And I can't remember who's playing for the gold and silver. Connor Bedard's playing in it. He made a comment. Canada.
He's playing for Canada.
Yeah, he's playing for Canada. Okay. Yeah, he's playing for Canada. He's had a good tournament. He's impressed. He's impressed his team. I mean, he's a good player. He's saying things in interviews like, I hope the Blackhawks are better next year, which, I mean, why wouldn't you hope that your team would be better next year? They're still building. Still a little ways to go for Chicago. But IWF? I don't even remember. But anyway.
I keep getting updates like the.
There's not much going on.
No, I know they like the. I know the Hershey Bears, the Caps AHL affiliate. I think they're still in the playoffs, and a lot of the younger guys on the Caps, like Hendrix LaPierre, has been on fire in the playoffs. Which I, you know, from a my standpoint, like, well, that kind of bodes well. You know, he was one of the bright spots against the Rangers. Like basically took on the entire Rangers defense by himself and scored on Shesterkin. So but like you're saying, it's kind of the slow time of the year. Everybody's kind of just waiting back, seeing, okay, how do the conference finals shake out? Let's get ready for the cup final. We've got, like you said, I mean, anytime the New York Rangers are this damn close, it's going to draw a bunch of eyeballs to it because it's the New York Rangers. I mean, the only thing better would be a Rangers Blackhawks series. And that would be, you know, then, right. You know, that sort of thing. I mean, you got, what was it, years ago where you got Rangers Kings? That was a big deal. And then the Kings smoked them, but oh well.
Sorry, it was the IIHF, the Ice Hockey World Championships, that are taking place right now. Switzerland is taking on Czechoslovakia in the championship today. So that'll, for what it's worth, that is what else is going on in the world of hockey. So 30 minutes, Dave. We talked a little Disney World. We talked conference finals.
We talked basketball.
Who knows? We talked basketball. Who knows? We could be talking Stanley Cup finals by next week, man.
We could. I'm not sure they'll be done by then, but we'll see what happens.
We'll see. Hey, you know, you never know. Again, pivotal game threes coming up. And then we'll be like turning our eye towards musical chairs.
We will. I have even talked to one Mr. DJ from Mindless Wrestling Podcast, because he's like, we need to do like a music focused podcast. I'm like, have you heard of musical chairs? So just throwing that out there.
Gotcha. We don't do it year round. So that's in fairness,
it's seasonal. It's a seasonal thing.
It is. It's a seasonal event because baseball would hurt our feelings. Yes. So hey, the Cardinals are winning games all of a sudden. Swept the O's. They beat the Cubs yesterday, came from behind. The Cubs are kind of a dumpster fire right now too. So hey, two teams that are dumpster. The Cardinals started so bad that even though they have won six out of their last seven or something like that, they're still under 500 by two games. They were bad.
They were. And my guys have been better than I thought this year. The Nats are better than I thought they'd be. They're going to be really good in about a year or two. I think they're going to be a team to watch out for. But
Did you see Bryce Harper get tossed for standing? It was like the funniest thing ever. Like, I've never seen anything like it.
And then he comes back and hits a home run yesterday. Bryce is, you know.
He should. But it was hilarious because, like, I'm not the biggest Bryce Harper fan. Like, the guy's kind of a dick on the field. Like, and if he was on my team, I'd love him. But he's not on my team, so I can hate him. But even I'm like watching him, like, what could he have said? You've seen Bull Durham, right? Yeah. Did he call the umpire a cocksucker? What happened?
I think
Crash probably called him a cocksucker.
And then he got kicked out, and he's Bryce like, wait, what are you talking about?
I was like, wait, what are you talking about? Like, it was really messed up. So
when Bryce was on the Nats, I love Brooks. I mean, obviously you have to.
He's now these all the Phillies. You're like,
I hate
that
his
guy.
Fucking guy. But I thought it was
fuck
such poetic justice that as soon as
fuck
he leaves,
that guy.
The very next year, the Nationals win the World Series, and Bryce still doesn't have a title. But you know, you look at the Phillies, like, okay, they seem to be the best out of anybody right now.
Oh yeah, they're playing like their hair's on fire. You know what athlete I feel the most bad for when it comes to like not winning a title?
You know,
it's Mike Trout.
Oh,
Mike Trout, easily, you know, like easily the best player in the league for God knows how long. Had Ohtani with him, and the Angels couldn't do anything. Couldn't add anything. Couldn't get him any support. And now this guy's starting to go through that stage of his career where he's hurt all the time. And
put Trout on the Dodgers and watch what happens.
Oh, yes. Somebody else needs to go to the Dodgers. Let's keep going to the Dodgers.
Or the Yankees. Add Trout to the Phillies. And
right.
Woo. Or the Braves. Something like that. Yeah. But I agree with you. Right. Mike Trout how many times do you have to win MVP and not even get to play in the playoffs?
Yeah, just such a great player. And his only runs into the playoffs have been quick exits. So sucks. But none of that has to do with what we're talking about. We've been talking hockey. Let's go ahead and wrap this show up. Dave, tell everybody where to find you out there in the interwebs and on the Chair Shot Radio Network.
Yeah, you can find me on X at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG, Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression, and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads.
And you can find me out there on the X Twitter at Wrestling Realist. That is at WrestlingRealist. You can generally catch me right now every Monday and Tuesday on the Chair Shot Radio Network. The Greg DeMarco Show has been having fits and starts. But Bandwagon Nerds on Monday is still going strong. And Hockey Talk, Musical Chairs, going strong on Tuesdays. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Hockey Talk. When we come back next week, maybe we're talking about Game 7s. Maybe we're talking about a Stanley Cup Finals. Who knows? It's very exciting. I hope these playoff series go 7 games. Fans deserve it. Hockey deserves it. And it's just a great time to be following the sport. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Catch you next time. You've been listening to Hockey Talk here on the Chair Shot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.